Is there an interest in your prayers? I'd like to write a title on the board. I've written on the board, Gospel of Hope, Not of Dread. This morning we spent time on our responsibility that we have, each one of us, to apply and share the gospel. The responsibility to be a steward of the gospel message. And this evening I have an important message that I'm very inspired with. It is a critical truth that I'd like to remind and encourage all of us with. And I wish that it would be a message that could be heard and understood and internalized well beyond these walls. But I'll endeavor to be faithful to what God has given to us this evening. And it is that the gospel is a gospel of hope. It's not a gospel of dread. It's a gospel of hope. It's not a gospel of condemnation. It's not to be used as a weapon. It's not to be used as a hammer. The purpose of the gospel is not to push down and to crush and to put people in their place and use it to satisfy your sense of justice or my sense of justice to those that we believe are outside of truth. But it is truth with and by grace given in love. That's the hope of the gospel. In John 3 and 16 and 17, most of us could quote that. It says, "For God so loved the world." I wonder if sometimes we read this verse too quickly. And we know it so well that we can just blow right through it without allowing the weight of the words, the truth of the words, to sink into our own individual hearts and minds. For God so loved the world, so loved you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, any person, that is willing to believe in Him shouldn't perish, doesn't have to die, doesn't have to be lost, but can have everlasting life. But Jesus didn't stop there, because I believe He wanted to reinforce a critical truth that really was inherent in the 16th verse. But it's like He wanted to put it another truth or a similar truth in some other words. And so He said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." This is Jesus talking. He said, "God didn't send me into the world to condemn the world. That's not why I came. But instead of coming to condemn the world, God sent His Son, He sent me, that the world, through Jesus Christ, might be saved." And what is it that came through Jesus? It was truth, came through Jesus, came by Jesus. Grace came by Jesus, unmerited, undeserved mercy, help. And grace and truth was brought in love. For God so loved the world. That's why He came. That's why He gave. Because it was rooted and grounded in love, with a purpose of issuing that call that that we refer to this morning when he stood up and he said, if any man thirst, come. If any man thirst. Again, it was a message to all of the world that they could come and drink. He came to bring a resurrection of life, not just to demonstrate a resurrection in his own life, which he did, but he died on the cross, and then he resurrected the third day through the power of God, and the purpose of that was so that we could, in some ways, yes, defeat death, but he helped give us a visual representation of the resurrection of life that we too can experience because of his death and because of his resurrection. We could have something we otherwise would not be able to have. And that is the good news of the gospel. Have you ever heard that term, the good news? The good news. It means it's not bad news. It means it's not neutral news. It means that it's good news. Why is it good news? Why do sometimes people refer to the gospel as the good news? Well, it's good news because the Lord made a way for me and for you and for all of the lost and for all of the undeserving and for those like the woman at the well that were seeking, that didn't have, that were empty, that were in darkness, that sin had ravaged their life, that where they had no hope, where it looked like death was certain, where there was no rest, where there was just constant a weight that they were trying to carry around and darkness. And the Lord looked down and he saw that. And so he saw that there was no way that we could pay or that we could earn or that we could work our way into rest and peace on our own. And so in love, he said, I'll pay the price. I'll do it. I'll come. I see that you can't do it. I see that you're unable. I see that you are in sin and your righteousness is not the righteousness of God. And the only way I can get you to a place where you can have, as the song said, everlasting joy, and where you can raise your hand and say, I've tasted and I know something about the peace that passes all understanding. The only way that can come to pass is if I send my son and pay the price that you're unable to pay. And so that's exactly what he did. Bringing forgiveness and bringing hope and bringing security, bringing a place in the kingdom of heaven, giving us a spot at his grand table where he sets the table with all wonderful, good, heavenly things, mercy and grace and truth and faithfulness and forgiveness and just goodness from above. And he says, come, I have a place for you and no one else can take it. And I'm going to be really disappointed if you don't sit there because nobody else is going to sit there. That's your place. And it will always be your place. And that place will always be there. And if you find yourself not at the table and you find yourself lost, I want you to know that if you will, you can come back and there it will be, your place at my table that I've reserved for you and food that's been prepared for you that you wouldn't be able to earn on your own. But I've provided that by paying the price for you. Thank God. That's why he came. It's a gospel of hope. It's not a gospel of dread and condemnation. Listen to the way that the prophet Isaiah in the 55th chapter said it. Beautiful chapter. Here's what he said. Isaiah 55:1. It says ho, H-O. And what it's like he's saying, hey, listen, listen up, attention. Anybody out there that's not paying attention, give attention to this. This is important. Everyone, not some, not just the qualified, not just the ones that can race ahead of the rest and get here before anybody else. Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money. Now my attention has been garnered because all of us feel like we don't have what it takes. Does anybody here feel like you have what it takes to be found in the grace of God? I don't. Not except through Jesus. And this says, you don't have money? You can come. Come, buy and eat. Uh-oh, wait a minute, buy. Now I'm in trouble again because I don't think I have what it takes to buy. Purchase. Uh-oh, what is it going to be required of me? Because he just said, he that hath no money, but now he's talking about coming and buying. Yea, come buy wine and milk. Well, this sounds like this is something special. But how am I going to buy it? But he goes on, he says, come buy these special things. And it says, without money and without price. Thank the Lord, I'm back in. You're back in. You don't have what it takes? That's the hope of the gospel. That's why he says, come. Everyone, you can come. That is the biggest part of the price. It's not that your righteousness qualifies you. It's that you're willing to come. That's what we have to be willing to do. We have to turn away from those other things that we're going after, and we have to hear the Lord say, hey, everybody out there, are you thirsty? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to have your sins forgiven? Do you want to have rest in your souls? Do you want to have a place at the kingdom of heaven? And we hear that. We say, yes, that's what I want. And he says, come drink. And the price that we pay, and there's a price, we have to turn away from it, and we have to come. But we don't have to come with our own righteousness. We just have to come with a willing and an honest heart to follow. And so he says, you can come without money and without price. And then he asks a question. And this question is to us that I want to get a hold of because I feel like we can fall into this. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why are you living your life and you're expending what you do have and you're giving what you do have for that is not going to satisfy? Why are you buying things that in the end doesn't nourish you? It's not bread. It's not doing you the good that you thought it was going to do for you when you spent your money on it. Why do you give your labor for that which satisfieth not? Haven't we all been there? Don't we still sometimes try to do that by carrying our own loads? And we're laboring and we're trying and we're trying to sometimes earn our way in and we're having a hard time accepting the promises of God. Oh, we believe in the judgments. But then when it comes to the promises of God, when it comes to the hope of the gospel, sometimes we can so quickly revert to some kind of dread that's unknown. That, well, I don't know. I don't know. This is me. I don't know about that. I'm just not sure. I just feel some darkness. So why are you laboring for that? That doesn't satisfy. That isn't going to quench your thirst. And so he says, is that you? Hearken diligently. Listen up. And not just listen up, but do it diligently. And so that's my message to you tonight too. And to me, let's be diligent about listening to what he has to say. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, give your ear to me, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Isn't that wonderful news? This is to all of us. This is the good news of the gospel. It's not intended to be a gospel of dread. And brothers and sisters, God wants us not only to accept this as the good news for ourselves, but He also wants us to present the gospel in this way. He wants us to present the gospel to the world, in our homes, here in this place of worship, and receive it in our own lives and in our own minds and in our own hearts in this way, in hope, not dread. I don't want to present, and I don't want to receive the gospel in a way that results in dread and condemnation. But I want to do it in hope. And I feel like that we can err as Christians by allowing the enemy of our souls, which is real. We do live in a spirit world, and I do believe there is a contrary, ungodly spirit that works against us because Jesus said so. And if we're not careful, we can allow that voice to come in and steal away the hope of the gospel that is meant for me and that is meant for you. And then we can further contribute to that dread by presenting it to others like that. Not as a gospel of hope that lifts up, that provides a way out, that is light and full of hope, but something different than that. I for sure don't want to use it as a hammer when it's intended to be a life preserver. It's intended to preserve life. And I'll say this, that yes, of course there is consequence to living outside of truth. The scriptures provide warning about those things, some quite stern. And it warns us about that. And in fact, there's one verse that speaks of that judgment begins in the house of God. But many of these warnings in this judgment are for sin and deception and lukewarmness absent the hope of the gospel being applied. It's not to those that embrace the hope of the gospel and follow after it with a whole and honest heart. It's for those that willingly go a different way. It's, no, I want to go my own way. It's for those that when the Lord stands up and He says, come, are you thirsty? Come unto me. I'm the door. By me, you will find life. And we say, well, you know, that's not really what I want to do. I think I'm going to go this other way. Or, well, I hear what you're saying, but you know, there's a lot of other things I'm really kind of interested in right now. And so by not embracing the gospel of hope that is offered to us, the only alternative is that it leaves us in a place in the absence of hope. So yes, the scripture is going to bring out those areas because that's the alternative. And the Lord came, Jesus Christ came as an antidote, not an anecdote, an antidote, which is intended to reverse the effects of something bad, an antidote. And the Lord looked down and He said, oh, we've got a problem down here. There's people that are in trouble and they're going the wrong way. And there's no way out for them. So I'm going to bring a gospel of hope to every single person that if they'll come, they can drink and have everlasting life. That's the gospel of hope. And yes, inherent within the scriptures is, it's like the Lord saying, hey, folks, if you don't come to life, if you don't come to the river that I have provided for you, it's going to lead in a way that you're not going to like. It leads to death, and I don't want you to go that way. And that's the way you're going to go, left up to your own devices. But I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And so Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world and to push down and to squash and to bring the hammer down, so to speak. But the good news is that he came to bring us a gospel of hope, to lift us up and out. And he wants us as people of God, he wants us to understand it for what it is. And he wants us to share it in that manner, in a manner of hope, again, to the world, in our homes, in our church, at work, which includes in the world, wherever we are. Lord, help us understand how to show the world your love, how to share the hope of the gospel in the way that it was intended to be shared. We read in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I guess maybe we don't have to turn there. But all through that chapter, it speaks to us and tells us that you can have all of these really good spiritual things. Faith, hope, faith to move mountains. You can be willing to suffer great things for God. Great sacrifice. And you say, I'll take it. I'll take another cross. I won't be moved. I'll go to the grave this way. Suffer, burned, the script it says. But if we miss the foundation of the hope of the gospel, we've missed it. If we miss charity. It's that all of these other things, we can say all of the right things. We can help others understand how wrong they are. And we can speak truth. I mean, everything we say might be true in of itself and right. But it says, without charity, it's just like empty noise. It's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's empty noise. And so, the scriptures want us to get a hold of the fact and the reality that Jesus Christ came to bring truth, yes, which exposes that which is not truth. And yes, there's judgment to that which is not truth, but that's why Jesus came. That's the hope of the gospel. He came so that we don't have to be judged according to sin. We can accept the life that Jesus Christ has come to bring us. And I want to do that in a way that the Lord is pleased with. And so in closing tonight, I'd like to reiterate that the Lord wants us to apply these truths to our own lives too. Because I think sometimes we can be harder on ourselves than we are other people. And we can all acknowledge tonight, maybe, say, yes, no, what you said is true. It's backed up by the Word of God. There's the hope of the gospel, and there's love and grace and truth and all those things, and I want to do that for other people. And then we turn right around and somehow allow this wonderful thing to be twisted into something of dread and uncertainty and condemnation and, well, I don't know, and I'm not going to be able to have rest, and surely there must be something wrong with it that I don't understand and I'm not seeing, but there's no way that I really can sit at the table and be comfortable because I probably somehow don't belong, and we don't allow it to be applied to ourselves. Let's allow these truths to be applied to ourselves. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to come to take away even that which is intended for your peace. It is intended to be good news for you. Jesus is a good shepherd, not just to everybody else. Jesus is your good shepherd. That applies to every individual. And if not just everybody else, but if you err, if you sin, if you miss the mark, if you stray out of the fold, if you begin to wander into dangerous places, and you hear the call of Jesus Christ, and you feel His rod and His staff reach out because He's a good shepherd and He doesn't want to lose you and He cares about you. He's not going to just let you go accidentally out of His fold. He's going to start to speak to your heart, and He's going to put His rod out there and His staff, maybe a rod of correction and maybe a staff to try to draw you back in. And if you're willing, and maybe it requires repentance, and you begin to hear that voice, and you draw nigh to God, there's a promise in the Scriptures that says if we draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. And yes, while He wants us to live righteously, it says that if we fail, we have an advocate with the Father who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. When we come in humility, we ask for forgiveness. Lord, I don't want to live another way. I want to be Yours. I want to be at Your table. I don't want to be lost. Lord, this is my heart. I'm imperfect. I'm learning. Lord, it seems like I disappoint myself. But Lord, my heart is I want to serve You. I want to be filled with Your Spirit. I want to be covered by Your grace. I want to be empowered by above in ways that enables me to live like I wouldn't otherwise be able to live. Lord, lead me on. And we have an honest heart. God knows that. He's not going to let you go. Don't let the enemy come steal that away and try to make you think Jesus isn't your good shepherd too, and that He's just everybody else's good shepherd. I feel like sometimes if we are not careful, we can introduce into our own lives and in the minds of others as much uncertainty and dread if all we do is focus on the judgment that is associated with not heeding the call of the hope of the gospel, but we spend so much time on that we don't remind ourselves and others of the whole reason Jesus came. And it wasn't to condemn us. It was to bring hope. It was to bring salvation. It was to lift us up. It was to show us a path out. Not to push us down because of the wrong path we were on, but to show us a way out in love. Jesus came to bring life, not death. So let's be encouraged tonight to receive, to follow after, and to share, present the hope of the gospel accordingly. I want to be true. I want to be a faithful ambassador of Jesus Christ that presents the gospel with hope. Amen.